Hi there, and welcome to session 35 of What the Cluck, a podcast devoted to keeping chickens for fun and self-sufficiency. I'm Matt from Frugal Chicken, and today is the day that I take your questions. Now, this week we've had a diverse amount of questions, but the thing is that they're all common questions that I've had listeners ask. I think you'll be blown away by some of the interesting information that you'll learn today. A million thanks to everyone who submitted, and due to time limitations, I can only take a few questions, but if your question isn't answered today, rest assured that I've taken note and I will try to answer them in our next episode. Just as a reminder, if you would like to submit a question, you can shoot me an email at editor@thefrugalchicken.com or contact me over social media. You can find me on Facebook at thefrugalchicken.com/Facebook. So now the first question that we have is, how many roosters is a good number to have for 16 hens? Now, the rule of thumb when it comes to roosters and hens is one rooster for every 10 hens. And that's a good number because they are able to easily watch over that many hens at once. They're able to service that many hens at one time if you're looking to have chicks, for example. So 10 hens for every one rooster is a good rule of thumb. So if you have 16 hens, you'll probably want to go with two roosters. Now, that's dependent on everybody getting along. You know, if you have roosters that just won't get along, then, you know, you might want to rehome one of them. But if you have, you know, two roosters that get along well, then, you know, that's a good number to go for. Another option, if you have roosters that don't get along, is to just put them in completely separate runs. That's something that we do with some of our roosters. We do have a few that don't get along. Most of them get along okay, but we do have a couple that don't get along with anybody. And they just have their own space with their own flock. Now, if your hens free range with the roosters, you might want to actually consider having more roosters. 10 hens for every one rooster is, you know, that can be a little bit difficult for them to watch if, you know, you live in an area, for example, with a lot of predators. So the purpose of a rooster, in addition to servicing the hens and, you know, helping create chicks, is to watch out for the flock. So if you live in an area with a lot of predators, then 10 hens is a lot for a rooster to sort of watch over. You know, roosters, their other job is to help them find food and stuff. But in this particular case, we're talking about the rooster's job protecting the hens. So in the case of chickens that free range a lot, you might want to consider going with, you know, one rooster for every 5 to 7 hens. That might work a little bit better. Now, that being said, if you live in an area where predators aren't really an issue, and you're not really so, you know, concerned about having a rooster for chicks or whatever, then, you know, you can just have as many roosters as you like. So if you only want one rooster, then that's fine. If you don't want any roosters, then that's fine too. So it really is just dependent on you and your particular situation. But if you're looking to have, you know, a balanced ratio of male to female chickens, then going with one rooster for every 10 hens is a good place to start. So our next question is from a listener who has a hen that has gone broody. And the question is, I have a broody hen and I have eggs that I want hatched. They're not her eggs. Should I give them to her as they're laid, or should I just give them all to her at once? Now, if you don't know what a broody hen is, it's a hen that's decided for whatever reason that she wants to sit on eggs and try and hatch them out. It's a normal response to the days getting longer. So if you have a hen that's decided that it wants to sit on eggs, it's completely normal. Now, hens will sit on their eggs, and they'll also sit on other hens' eggs. If you haven't noticed, I'm sure if you have chickens, you have noticed that hens like to use the same nesting box. And one hen will just decide one day that she wants to hatch eggs, and she'll sit on all the eggs. She's not going to, you know, sort of pick through and determine which eggs are hers and which ones aren't. She's just going to sit on the entire clutch of eggs that's there. So going broody is a natural, instinctual, reproductive response, and it doesn't matter if they're her eggs or other eggs. So in this particular situation, though, the person wants to know whether they can put eggs in there one at a time. You know, they have eggs from another chicken that they want to hatch, and maybe the hen that laid those eggs didn't go broody for whatever reason. So in this case, I really think it's best to put all the eggs in there at the same time. When hens go broody, they get cranky, and they can engage in behavior like, you know, pecking at you and biting you and stuff. And even hens, when they're not broody, if they're trying to lay eggs and they want to just be left alone to lay the egg, they can kind of act this way. So in my opinion, I believe that it's best to just put them all in there at one time. You won't take the chance of disturbing her as much. Hens, if they're disturbed too often when they're growing broody, they might abandon the nest. They might feel that the nest is unsafe. So if you just put them all in at the same time, then that sort of eliminates that issue. Now, if you have eggs from hens that you want hatched, and they're only laying, you know, say a couple a day, you actually can wait a few days before putting the eggs in the nest with the broody hen, and those eggs will still be fine. So personally, I like to make sure that the eggs are as fresh as possible, but you have a window of time, about 3 to 7 days, until the eggs start to really, you know, not be as likely to hatch. So if you go ahead and wait a week until you put all the eggs that you have that you want to hatch under the hen, then that's perfectly fine. Now, to actually physically put them in there, what I do is I actually lift the hen up a little bit and just make some room and then put all the eggs underneath there. She'll go ahead and she'll rearrange things as suits her. You know, hens can get pretty particular about their nests, but, you know, you just lift her up a little bit and then just put the eggs underneath and let her settle back down and do her thing. And again, you only want to really do that once, because the more that you disturb her, the more likely you are to cause her stress and the more likely you are to put her in a position where she's going to just abandon the nest altogether. So you might be wondering how you know if your hen has gone broody, and it's actually, you know, pretty straightforward. When your hen has decided she wants to hatch eggs, she'll sit in a nesting box and she won't budge. And there might be eggs in there, there might not be eggs in there. Usually there's eggs in there, but that's pretty much the sign that she's decided to go broody, is, you know, they sit in a nesting box or in an area where they've decided that they want to hatch eggs and they can't be budged. When the hen is sitting on eggs, she will go ahead and eat. She won't eat and drink as much as she normally would. So one thing you might want to do is keep some food and water close by to her to encourage her to eat and stay hydrated, because part of the natural response of going broody is to not want to get up and walk around and hunt and peck as much. They want to sit on the nest and they want to be quiet. So go ahead and put food and water near her to encourage her to keep her energy up while she goes through the normal response of wanting to hatch chicks. So the next question is from a listener who wants to know what they should keep in their chicken first aid kit. So they want to get a first aid kit together to be ready for an emergency, and they want to know what they should put into it. Now, I can read you a long, extensive list of what everything that I should believe should be in a first aid kit, but suffice to say, a lot of the things are very straightforward. For example, nonstick gauze, vet wrap, scissors. Now, one thing that you might want to consider putting in there that a lot of people don't really think about are bandage shears. And these I have found to be extremely important on any farm. And if you don't know what these are the shears, the scissors that they use to remove bandages, you know, after you've had surgery, for example, and they have the blunt end on one side of the scissors. And, it, you know, basically the point of the blunt end is so you can put it up against the skin without accidentally cutting the skin. These I rely on a lot when I have to undo bandages on animals and stuff, because animals move around quickly. They, you know, it's a situation where you could very easily cut them. So the bandage shears I found sort of eliminate that issue. Another very important item to have are disposable gloves. And I use these all the time. You know, if you have a chicken that has an upper respiratory infection and you want to isolate her, then you're going to want to obviously use disposable gloves anytime you touch her. It's also good for dealing with stuff like if you have to put diatomaceous earth on a chicken that has mites. The diatomaceous earth, if you've ever actually touched that with your hands, it's a little bit caustic. I don't personally like how it feels, so I wear disposable gloves when I do that. Also, if you have to handle anything sort of chemical, if you have a chicken that has mites that, you know, are so bad that they just need to be treated with some sort of chemical treatment to just eliminate them quickly and completely, then you're going to obviously want to wear gloves when you do that. Now, something else to consider are Epsom salts. Those are good for both bumblefoot and egg binding. It's, you know, you soak the foot or, you know, the vent in it, and it reduces the swelling. So Epsom salt are probably something that you should always definitely have in your chicken first aid kit. Something else I like to keep on hand are syringes. And the reason for that, it actually isn't for injecting them with anything. It's to actually administer medication and, you know, things like electrolytes to them and apple cider vinegar, for example, as they need it. So if you have a chicken that's sick and you want to, you know, it's very sick, for example, and you want to make sure that it's actually getting the electrolytes or the apple cider vinegar, then a syringe is really a surefire way that you can do that. And it's especially good if you have a chicken that's very sick and doesn't want to eat or drink, and it's not going to do it by itself. A syringe is a way to make sure that they're getting the electrolytes without relying on them to do it for themselves. Something else to consider are electrolytes, and you can either use commercial electrolytes or homemade electrolytes. Electrolytes are very important to have on hand in case of an emergency. If you have a hen that's sick, or if you have an animal that's heat stressed, then having the electrolytes at hand will help you handle that situation reliably while not having to go and run around town trying to scrounge around for electrolytes. Something else I'd like to keep on hand are probiotics, either commercial probiotics or something like apple cider vinegar. Again, if you're in a situation where you have a hen that doesn't want to eat because it's injured, then having probiotics on hand will help promote good digestion, and also it will help introduce some nutrients into her body while not forcing her to eat. Blue coat is also something that you should have in your first aid kit. I'm not the biggest fan of topical medications like Blue Coat. The reason I like to use it is because the blue dye in it, it helps protect wounds from being pecked at constantly by other chickens. That's the reason why I like it. As far as a topical antiseptic goes, I think that there's better stuff out there, but the blue dye itself is advantageous to protect wounds. Now, something else I keep in my first aid kit that you might not think of is actually raw organic honey. When it comes to traumatic injuries, for example, if you have a hen that's been pecked and it has a large wound, I've found honey to be probably the best thing on the market to help with that. And the reason why is honey is a natural antiseptic. There's honey that has been found in tombs in ancient Egypt that's still good. It just doesn't go bad. And it doesn't go bad because it just doesn't allow bacteria to grow in it. So when it comes to treating large open wounds, honey is actually what I use. The other nice thing about honey is that it has soothing properties. So if you have ever had a large cut on your body, and as it dries out, as it heals, the skin sort of begins to stretch and it gets inflamed and it gets more painful than it would be otherwise. Using honey can actually help soothe that. So, you know, for example, if we have a hen that's been in a pecking order dispute and it's a large wound, you can already tell just by looking at it that as it heals, it's going to be very painful. Using raw organic honey will help soothe all that. And it actually reduces the physical stress on the hen, which in turn might actually help her survive whatever traumatic injury she's been through. You know, we had a situation with a quail earlier this winter who was pecked pretty much nearly to death by other quail. Its skull was exposed, and it was a new quail that we had introduced into the flock. And, you know, we had introduced other quail into this flock with no problem, so we figured that this one wasn't going to be a problem. But for whatever reason, they decided to pick on it. And I'm pretty sure that if we had not used honey to treat the injury, the quail probably would have died from stress from the injury. So this story is a good example of why I rely on honey more than probably any other topical antibacterial solution out there. And I really feel strongly that this is something that really should be in your first aid kit. So I could go on for a while about what should be in your first aid kit, but these are some of the bottom line items that I think should be in any chicken first aid kit out there. So moving on to our next question. This is from a listener who is incubating eggs, and they want to know how long after a chick pips until it hatches. In other words, how long do I leave it be without helping it? So the answer to this question is, it depends. When a chick hatches, it goes through several distinct phases, but the two we're concerned about right now are pipping and zipping. When a chick pips, it first breaks the inner membrane of the shell, it then pips the shell itself and creates a small hole in the shell to the outside world. After a certain amount of time, and that amount of time depends on the individual chick that's breaking out of the shell, the chick will start to zip. What that means is it begins to rotate inside the egg to break the shell open. It does this in a very distinct pattern. You can't miss it. It's unmistakable what this pattern is. And zipping can happen anywhere from a few hours after pipping to actually about 40 hours later. You know, if you get to the 40-hour mark, you got a problem, but this is the span of time that it usually happens. If it hasn't happened after about 40 hours, then your chick probably is not going to come out. Now, when it comes to hatching eggs, it's very, very important to let the chick do the work by itself and to not interfere. The bottom line here is that in most cases, chicks hatch perfectly fine on their own. And in most cases, you're probably going to do more harm than good if you interfere. There's, you know, a few cases, and we'll talk about those in a minute, where you will need to get involved. But when you are hatching eggs, above all else, let the chick try and do it itself before you get involved. Now, especially if you're new to chickens and you really don't have much of an idea of what you're doing, you're going to likely do more damage than good. So while in the process of hatching, chicks absorb the yolk, which becomes their food source for up to 3 days after fully hatching. It's very important to not interrupt this process, which is why it's critical to not get involved in a hatch unless necessary. If you help at the wrong time or in the wrong way, you will likely kill the chick. So now a chick will pip, but then it will rest, and that's completely normal. This is not cause for interference. The chick is learning to breathe, and then they'll sleep and rest. You might see them opening and closing their mouth, and again, this is completely normal. Do not interfere. So what you might see is a chick sticking its beak out of the hole that it's just pipped in the eggshell, and it's opening and closing its mouth. That's completely normal. It's just learning to breathe. Don't interfere at this point. So the reason for all these sort of red label warnings that I'm giving you right now is that while the chick is hatching, it's very difficult to judge when an intervention is both necessary and safe. So to answer the question, my rule of thumb is that if the chick has not zipped in more than 36 hours after pipping, or if it zips halfway through and then stops for several hours, that's when I personally help out. And again, this is based on my experience, particularly when it comes to zipping. If the chick has not zipped within 36 hours, and usually I probably actually give about 24 hours, if they have not fully zipped within that 24 hours, I start to get involved. And in my experience, you know, we've had chicks that have been malpresented at the time of zipping, and they've been able to zip a little bit, and they can't complete it because for whatever reason, they can't get the egg tooth to help them zip the rest of the eggshell. So that's the point at which I get involved. But before then, I wait and see what the chick is going to do, if it can do it itself. And in many, many cases, the chick actually will just complete the whole thing itself. And, you know, it rested for a few hours and then it continued to zip. Now, again, it's important to remember that while the chick is zipping, so let's say it zips for a little bit and then it waits and then it starts to zip again. It's important to remember that while all of this process is going on, the chick in all likelihood has absorbed the yolk sac, so it's not getting hungry or thirsty in there. So if it waits 24 hours to complete its zip, then, you know, that's fine because it's not getting hungry or thirsty. As long as it has air, that's really the important thing to remember here. Now, a chick that's pipped at the wrong end of the egg, that chick might actually need help. And I've had that happen a few times where it starts to pip at the pointy end of the egg and not sort of like the larger end. Usually when chicks pip, they pip at the larger end of the egg because that's where the air sac is. Now, if you have a chick that's pipped at the other end, you might want to get involved in that case. So the bottom line here is, in most cases, the chick will do its job just fine and to not get involved. But if it hasn't zipped within 36 hours of pipping, that's when you might want to start getting involved. So now this final question I've actually gotten a few times this week. And the question is whether I can tell which hen laid which egg based on the color of the egg. And, you know, the answer to this is yes, you can, if you know which hen is supposed to lay which color egg. So for example, if you have some black copper merans and you know that they're supposed to lay dark brown eggs, then if you have, you know, 10 brown eggs and one dark colored egg, you know who's probably laid it. You know, another example is if you have an Americana or an Araucana and you know that they're supposed to lay blue eggs and they start laying blue eggs, then, you know who's doing it. Now, there are certain chickens I can tell in my flock, and I have a flock of about 50 layers. There are certain chickens that I can tell who's laid which egg, even though they are laying a light brown egg, just because I've sat there and watched them lay it and that sort of thing. But for the most part, I actually personally do have a hard time telling which hen has laid which egg, especially around amongst my production red hens, where they're bred to have completely uniform eggs. So that's kind of the purpose of the breed, is that they're supposed to be very good layers and they're supposed to be uniform layers. So if you happen to catch a hen laying an egg and you're able to correctly correlate the hen with the color egg that she's laid, that's one way to tell which hen is actually laying which egg. Now, something else you can do is when it comes to chickens, you can actually figure out before they even start laying what color egg they're going to lay with some breeds. And the way you tell that is if the hen has red earlobes, she's going to lay a brown egg. And if she has white earlobes, she's going to lay white eggs. And that's just sort of a general characteristic that hens have that you can tell what color egg they're going to lay. And obviously that's breed dependent. So for example, if you have an Easter egger, you know, they're going to have red earlobes, but they can lay a brown egg, they can lay a green egg, they can lay a pink egg, actually, they can lay a blue egg. So that is breed dependent, but it's kind of a cool thing to know. You know, if you have a bunch of chicks that you've purchased and you're not sure what color egg they're going to lay, you can look at their earlobes. And if the earlobes are white, they're going to lay white eggs. If their earlobes are red, then they're probably going to lay a brown egg. So to answer the question, can you tell what hen will lay what egg based on their the color of the egg? You know, this is completely breed dependent. So if you know the breeds of your chickens, then you can have a good idea. So that's the end of this week's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it and it gives you some idea about how to raise your chickens better. So if you're new to chickens or maybe you're an old hand and you want to do something fun, I have a 15-day boot camp called the Healthy Coop Boot Camp. You can sign up at healthycoopbootcamp.com. And each day you'll get an email with a video chock full of information that you need to know to raise happy, healthy chickens. If you're not sure what to do with chicks when you get them home, or when to switch feed, or if you're interested in raising chickens naturally using things like herbs, then my boot camp is for you. My boot camp is completely free. And again, you can sign up at healthycoopbootcamp.com. Thanks for listening to this episode of What the Cluck, and I'll see you next time.